It's Thinking Out Loud, KBIA 91.3 FM, and the Errol Rock Lyceum Theater getting ready to start their 2017 summer season. Boy, they've got a lot of great stuff coming up, all of it beginning June 7th with Beauty and the Beast, and their producing artistic director, Quinn Gresham, is here. Quinn, it's great to see you. Welcome back.
It is wonderful to see you.
Thanks for coming in today. Let's talk about the upcoming season, and we're going to just kind of go through, because you've got a lot of great stuff, a lot of variety and some fun things here. And let's start with Beauty and the Beast, because that's going to be the opening performance running June 7th through the 18th. And people, especially if they have young kids at their house, are probably very familiar with the Disney version of this. But talk about what you guys are doing on stage with Beauty.
Yeah, so this is the stage adaptation of the cartoon, which is a little different than the new movie that just came out. There are a lot more songs, obviously, than appeared in the new movie, and more songs than there were in the original cartoon. It is a great family-friendly fantasy. I would say, hands down, this is going to be one of the most elaborate productions that we've ever seen on our stage to date. When you've got singing and dancing, candlesticks and teapots, and princes magically turned into beasts, there's an awful lot of spectacularness to share with an audience to tell this particular story.
I feel like we have done this interview several times before, because we have, but I always assume that there are going to be a few people that come into the conversation not really as aware of what's going on with Errol Rock. So let's take a moment. First of all, Errol Rock, beautiful little town. It's just on the other side of Boonville. If you're traveling on Interstate 70 out of Columbia over there in that area there, and there's a lot of history to the town. It's just a beautiful place to go visit.
It absolutely is. Errol Rock boasts a population of 56 people, which seems to be the least likely place that you would find a professional theater. But we have been there now for 57 years, bringing in talent from all over the country to entertain our audiences from all over Missouri. This is in no way an official title, but I do think of the Lyceum as Missouri's theater. We are smack dab in the middle of the state. We serve audiences from Columbia, St. Louis, Kansas City, Moberly, Springfield, all over the state. Folks come to meet and be entertained at the Lyceum Theater.
And talk just real briefly about how you find artists to come in here, because it's obviously not, you know, going to be a full cast of professional actors in this town of 50-something people, but you bring in people from all over the country.
Yeah, we could barely have a bowling league in the town of Arrow Rock, so we do need to bring in people from outside. So we host auditions locally, but I also spend a couple of weeks in New York City, and each year we make our announcement of the shows that we're doing, the roles we're looking to cast, and typically I receive between 10 and 12,000 submissions from potential actors in New York who would like to be considered for our season. It always blows my mind to live in Arrow Rock population 56 and realize there are that many people in New York City, population 8 million, whatever it is, that know about us.
And part of why this is going to be popular is that it's very, very good theater. This is a company, as you mentioned, that's been doing this for more than 50 years. But I would also imagine, for somebody that has been in Hollywood and done the movie thing, for somebody that has been on Broadway, there's a lifestyle for a few weeks out of your summer that must be very appealing.
It's a 180 switch for so many of these people. We have the woman that's playing Mrs. Potts in Beauty and the Beast just closed her last production or performance of Wicked on Broadway on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
And now she's in rehearsal today playing a teapot. But it's always interesting to see how much of a working vacation this ends up being for so many of these visiting company members.
I'm sure it is a beautiful place. And there's other things to do there as well. If you want to make a day of it, you can find out about the shows at the Lyceum at their website. It's lyceumtheater.org. We're going through the season with Quinn Gresham. The next one, obviously one very, very close to my heart, opening on June 28th. You're going to be doing Rodgers and Hammerstein's Oklahoma. And it's not just a play about my home state, but it's a play I've obviously been in a few times over there. I don't think you can live in the state and not at some point in fourth grade to Oklahoma.
I was hoping that you would sing the title song for us here today, but I'm sure that there are copyright issues, so we won't get into that. this is probably the greatest musical, the best known musical. When somebody thinks musical theater, usually Oklahoma is the first thought.
Yeah.
And Rodgers and Hammerstein were breaking new ground when they wrote this musical. They were creating a story where the songs were necessary in the telling of the story, unlike musicals that had appeared previously. Character was developed through the course of these songs.
Sure.
And what great songs they are. People will say We're in Love, Oh What a Beautiful Morning, Everything's Up to Date in Kansas City, the title song Oklahoma. The list goes on and on and on. And I think most people can sing along. But as is always a great challenge with something that is this well known, we try very hard to cast interesting actors that are going to bring a different slant on things. And the director
Sure.
knows very well that he's tackling a very well-known property. And the challenge is always to tell the story as we believe it was intended, but also to make sure that it comes to life in a new and exciting way.
And you want something interesting and new and original without people going, oh my God, that's my favorite one and you messed it up.
Right.
People have strong feelings about some of these classics, and so that's always kind of a tightrope act you have to walk. Next up in the second half of July, you're going to be doing Mamma Mia. And again, this is one where people are going to be familiar with the movie, and they're going to be familiar with so many of these great songs. This one's going to be a blast.
Yeah, this is the Lyceum premiere of the musical that takes almost every song you can think of that ABBA wrote and combines all of them into a fable about a young woman who is about to get married and uses the occasion of her marriage to find out which of three possible contenders is actually her father. It's very silly, it's very fun, it's very romantic. And this music is, I know it was important to me growing up, so it's really fun to hear all of those great songs.
This is one that you'll just smile through. It's really a lot of fun, Mamma Mia, happening in July. And then as we go through the rest of the season, it seems like we can't have an Arrow Rock season without a good mystery, a little bit of whodunit going on here. Hound of the Baskervilles.
Yeah, for many years we've produced Agatha Christie mysteries.
Yes.
And we thought this year we'd make a slight departure and actually allow the debut performance of Sherlock Holmes. He's never been on the Lyceum stage.
Really?
So this is a fairly new adaptation of The Hound of the Baskervilles, which most people would say is his most famous case. There have been several recent versions of The Hound of the Baskervilles, which are send-ups, small little campy things, and they're very, very fun. But that's not what we're doing. I thought, knowing our mystery-loving audience, that we needed to produce a legitimate telling of this great story. And it is twisty, it is action-packed, and essentially Sherlock and Watson have been engaged to find out if the new baronet of Baskerville Hall is actually in danger of a demonic hellhound killing him the way that this dog has killed previous generations. Is it a dog? Is it a person? You'll have to come see the show to find out.
All right, and that is The Hound of the Baskervilles. It's all happening again at the Arrow Rock Lyceum Theater. Remind you again, their website is lyceumtheater.org. This is Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. I'm Darren Helwedge with Quinn Gresham from the Arrow Rock Lyceum. We mentioned that a typical season is going to include a good mystery, and this is another favorite. This is one that people are going to be familiar with if they are old Arrow Rock Lyceum fans, and that is Greater Tuna. You guys have done these shows from Tuna, Texas. There's three of them, right?
There are four.
There's four
of them now.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. And my best description for people who are old public radio fans is that this is like Garrison Keillor with cowboy boots. It's stories about church life and small town and very gentle humor. It's really fun.
And a very affectionate satire of small town life too. These are terrific plays that have been enjoyed greatly by our audience. And one of the things that makes them so fun, other than the great barbs at small town life and so many of the people that those of us that grew up in small towns know and love, like Dee Dee Snavely, the owner of the gun shop, P.D. Fisk, who is working for the Humane Society and defending every animal all the way down to fire ants. Tuna, which is Texas's third smallest town, is described as being the place where Patsy Cline never dies and the Lions Club is too liberal. All of this is so fun, but then to add to that fun, you have two actors playing the entire populace of Greater Tuna. Two men play men, women, they play the young, they play the old, they play some animals in between, and all of this is done through quick change magic. It is a delight.
I'm sure, and I'm sure as an actor and for directors, it's quite a challenge also.
It is. I've actually been in the past four iterations of the Greater Tuna series, and I have passed off my high heels to a new generation. but Lyceum favorite Whit Reichert, who has been seen in tons of shows in Arrow Rock, is going to be in the show this year, and we're excited to see what a dress looks like on him.
We're going to be getting to see, guess who's coming to dinner on stage, one of the really classic. I love this movie, so it'll be fun to see this one live.
This is a new adaptation of the film. It wasn't a play originally. It started off as that great movie with Sidney Poitier, Katherine Hepburn, Spencer Tracy, and was adapted a few years ago to the stage. And it's amazing how relevant and powerful that story is about a progressive San Francisco couple who are shocked by how shocked they actually are when their young daughter brings home her fiance, who turns out to be African American. It is poignant. It is heartwarming. It is important, and it's also very funny in the process. It's really a terrific story.
And I think it is a measure of how important and how well done this was that we're still using this. I can remember saying the same thing about Mockingbird. The mm-hmm. fact that it was so important that what it had to say about race 60, 70 years ago, we're still reading this book, we're still watching this movie, and Guess Who's Coming to Dinner is another example of that, just really, really well done. And then the regular season going to wrap up at the second, third week of September with Beehive, and this was the one on your schedule I really wasn't that familiar with, so tell me about Beehive.
Well, Beehive, the 60s musical, is basically an evening of song that combines just about every girl singer song from the 60s. So you start with Leslie Gore, and you end up with Janis Joplin. You go from Diana Ross to Aretha Franklin. And we have six unbelievable vocalists that will make up the company of Beehive. And they'll be singing along with a rockin' live onstage band. When we were in New York casting the show, I thought, well, this isn't going to be that exciting. These aren't necessarily character songs. But I was just overwhelmed. I was entertained in a way that I've never been in an audition room, and we're so lucky to have the six women that we chose to come entertain our audiences in Beehive.
Yeah, and you're a little bit younger than I think, so these are going to be songs that some of us are going to remember from when they were songs.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
And then, but everybody's going to really have fun with that, I think. So that's Beehive. So it's a terrific season, again, starting with Beauty and the Beast, June 7th. Real briefly, you guys have something special happening on the 7th for opening night. You should tell us about that.
Yeah, that's
right.
We offer an opportunity after the opening night show to gather for drinks and food with the cast and crew of Beauty and the Beast in the lobby of the theater. Tickets are on sale on our website or at our box office. This is one of the more fun events because we've just opened a gigantic show. Everybody breathes a sigh of relief and has a great time. So if you'd like to get to know members of the cast of Beauty and the Beast, that's the place to do it.
And if any of these shows sounded like they would be fun for you, or if a lot of them sounded like they would be fun for you, you could find out more about getting tickets, find out about some special events they will be doing later in the year, and everything else happening at Arrow Rock at their website. Again, it is lyceumtheater.org, opening on June the 7th with Disney's Beauty and the Beast. And Quinn, have a great time this season. Thanks a lot for coming out to be on our show today.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.